meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
3, 2, 1, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, and it is Loveline, the phone number here. 1-800-LOV-191. I'm Dr. Drew, and I'm not Adam Carolla. In the studio with me is a third strike. Jim Corthy, lead singer, right?
How you doing?
And Eric Carlson, guitar player.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming in, guys. We are very excited to meet you since you're one of... you're one of Fletcher's finds. any friend of Fletcher's, a great friend of ours. You didn't bring any vomit or anything or
no.
Poo-Poo City paraphernalia, nothing to remind us of Fletch.
No, we're clean.
And now you guys are going to do the Warped Tour and the Ozfest, is that right?
Yeah, a little bit of
both.
Oh,
my God. We don't need you. What are you doing? How dare you?
The show started?
Yeah.
My car clock's off.
Oh, no kidding. Sit down. Have it. Relax.
How are you, buddy?
Third strike.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
How you doing?
Good times.
Yeah, good times. Sorry, freeway's a mess. I got off. I was cutting through town. It was streets of San Francisco. You know, switch cups?
Yeah. All right. Just hearing these guys were found by Fletch from Pennywise.
Oh, my God.
And they are going to be on Ozfest and the Warped Tour.
With Pennywise and anybody else who's on it? Everyone else is on, but is Pennywise going to be doing those?
No, that's the one band that won't be doing those.
Oh, good. Right. Very, very lucky.
Thanks for reminding us.
Keep interviewing, Drew.
I will. Now, Jim, you grew up here in Southern California, right?
Yes, I did.
The only sort of tag they give us is that it was a bad neighborhood. What does that mean?
Well, I grew up in not a bad neighborhood, but I went to high school, met some people, and... You know, I gravitated toward the gang. I jumped in, you know, did about 7 years.
In a gang?
In that, yeah.
How'd you get out of that?
It was just time, you know. A lot of friends were dead and in prison. And
did the music pull you out of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I had the music going, and it was just the time I was at the crossroads, and I chose the right way to go, and luckily it's working out, you know.
Were people angry with you for leaving, or just resentments?
Yeah. Some of them, but the majority of them, you know, they wanted me to make them proud, you know.
One of them
to make it out, you know.
And how'd you guys meet?
In a gang.
No.
Actually, met him in a sober living house.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of a gang.
Yeah.
Probably worse than the Crips of the Blood.
You guys still sober?
Trying to. I drink a little bit every once in a while, but when we're on the road, we try and stay clean.
It's hard. Are you familiar with Musician Assistance Program or Music Cares, any of those guys?
Because
they will help you with your tour, setting up sober people to keep around you and go to meetings
and stuff.
Yeah.
We do a pretty good job. You know, we all try and support each other. There really hasn't been any trouble so far. So, yeah, it's been pretty smooth so far.
Yeah, Drew doesn't think you can chip, though. He says you either got to be sober or you're on. He doesn't believe in any of that, you know, beer here and there business.
Yeah.
Well, they know that.
I listen to the show a lot. I know a lot of your views on that.
It's not even my views. It's my observation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just what I see works and what doesn't work. I wish it'd be great if there was such a thing as moderation. But once that switch is thrown, that's...
All right, but let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
Well, what if there's somebody who is going through a particularly tough time of their life, and they get into this substance, right?
Right.
So they get really into whatever substance it is, they have a bad couple of years with it. And then they get sober.
Right.
But then a few years goes by, and they realize, I was really into this substance because it was a really bad time in my life, but I'm not really an alcoholic, or I'm not really really whatever. And I can have a cocktail every once in a while.
That's very rare.
It is.
It's actually very good because anybody that can stop drinking stops, and anybody that can't,
but they're stopping by getting into a program.
No, the program is designed to dealing with the biology of being unable to stop. If you can stop, you should just stop. See a psychologist, get your life together, go ahead and stop.
Progressive.
Well, but if they just stop, you're not going to go for that either, are you?
They can't. The biology will not.
No, I'm saying maybe they do.
Then they're not an addict. Then they just stop.
Well, I mean, maybe they stop by means of the program because that's an easier, more effective way for them to do it.
No,
you're confused now?
I'm confused. You're confused what the program is.
Well, I'm saying they drink for a few years. They feel like they're out of control with it, and then they stop.
then they're not an addict.
They're not an addict.
They're an alcoholic.
Well, they say there's like three types of people. There's like the people that just recreationally do it, and then there's the people that might do it a little bit more and kind of have a problem with it, but if they're faced with something like losing the job or getting sick or something
they'll stop.
They'll stop.
Exactly.
And then there's the people that it doesn't really matter what's going on, they'll lose everything and they'll just keep going.
That's an addict.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's a biology that if it's a switch that gets thrown in the brain, and once that switch is active, it's it. It's over.
Yeah.
It's game on.
Well, that's those people.
Well, those are the people we treat. Those are the people that are in the program.
I'm not saying everybody in the program can't. Why can't those guys have a beer 10 years later when they're in a different place?
Because
there's
a whole biological explanation.
Listen, you know I'm right.
Well, a lot of those people that are sober for 13, 14 years, I mean, I saw a lot of them at meetings that were sober that long, and then they go out once.
Powder.
And then it's just over with.
The way the biology works, it's like a reward level is etched into your brain that if you reactivate, the brain insists you go back to that same place. Insist. As if you were still using all the
time. Right, but I'm saying not everybody in there is of that ilk. That's what I'm saying.
Everyone in there is of that ilk, or they shouldn't be there.
Right.
Some people don't know.
Some people just go in to clean themselves up.
I've never seen that.
Oh, yes, you have.
I've never seen
that. Well, not in it. Not when you're checking yourself into the Betty Ford Clinic, but I'm talking about it going to AA meetings.
It's
never seen that?
I've never seen
please,
that.
Oh, please.
Well, people who go there willfully.
I've seen one. I take it back. I've seen one.
Usually people who go there themselves and check themselves in, they need to be there. But there's people who go there through court and through this and that, you know, who may not have a problem, but they have to go to get, you know, some court clearance or something.
Right. All right. You want to take some calls, Drew?
Yeah, let's do. This is Leslie, who is 15. Leslie.
Hi.
What's up?
Oh, I don't know. I'm in a relationship with my boyfriend, and we've been in it for almost 2 years. And, like, I have a great time and all, but I just worry that it's too serious and that I'm not going to get any other, like, experience when this is the time when I'm supposed to be seeing other people.
How long have you been with him?
Two?
Hmm?
2 years?
Almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
seems like enough.
Yeah, your instincts sound good. That's in fact what is what happens. You get joined at the hip with someone, and you lose the opportunity to really explore who you are. Plus, the fact that you're thinking this way after being with somebody for 2 years suggests you want to get out. You just don't know how.
But it's like I'd like to be with him.
I know.
And when you're 15, you think you're going to see everyone you've seen your whole life for the rest of your life. You know, when I graduate high school, I'm going to go back, I'm going to see all my teachers, I'm going to let everyone know what I'm doing, and I'm going to keep all my boyfriends and girlfriends. It never works that way.
No.
I don't know. My mom married her high school sweetheart, but then they got divorced, and...
Well, you don't want that to happen, do you?
No, and she gets all worried because she thinks that that's going to happen to me.
Well, there you go. And she's gotten it across to you that that's not necessarily a healthy thing to be doing, so that's cool. All right?
Yeah.
All right, Leslie.
Time
break
to break
up.
It up. Afraid so.
New boyfriend.
Drew, what percentage of people call this show do we tell to break up?
Or the boyfriend or girlfriend? Not to say to break up, but just that it's over. It's just over. I'm 90%.
Yes.
Maria, 17. Maria?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
All right. Well, I'm kind of a lesbian, and I have a boyfriend, and that's just a cover-up, and I'm wondering how I could tell him.
Well, you got to keep your boyfriend. You can't break up. You need him. You need him as a beard, right? Otherwise, people will catch on to you.
Well, I mean, I'm a lesbian, and I can't.
Didn't she sound loaded to you?
No, she's not loaded. It's just put her on hold for a second.
Okay.
Slow people take a while to process stuff. like you go. Listen, you want to get to the AMCO? You go straight down Ventura. You go right where it crosses Woodman. And then it's like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 3,000. Right on, Woodman? You see, they're the couple. They're like how I read.
Right.
They listen how I read.
Right.
Like when I watch something that has a subtitle, everyone in the room starts laughing, and then it's like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Hey, that's good. I do that with cartoons, anything that involves reading. I think that's how dumb people hear, Drew.
Ever think about that? Yeah, it makes sense to me. But so, what are we telling Maria? That... What are you asking us? We don't understand what you're asking.
Well, I'm wondering how I could, like, come clean. I mean, should I break up with him or
yes,
what?
Yes, break up with him.
Well, who do you want to come clean with beside him?
Like, just, I don't know, my friends and...
You want to tell your family?
My parents, yeah.
Will they go nuts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gonna get dad back, huh? Well, payback time for Daddy? Huh?
He just got really mad.
What did he do to you?
He didn't do anything to me, but I mean, he would just be upset.
Is he a religious guy?
No.
Why would he be upset?
Because I guess he's, like, against all that, like, the gay thing and the lesbian thing. He's just, like, against it.
Do you love him?
Yeah.
And you respect him?
Yeah.
He's a good dad to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, give him another couple of years. You don't have to tell him yet, then.
You'll be surprised at what parents will understand.
Yeah. And if he loves you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm convinced we have a true lesbian here, by the way.
Yeah, a born lesbian.
No one molested you?
No. Well, my mom did when I was younger.
Your mom did?
Yeah.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. Really?
What did she do to you?
Yeah, well, when I was 3 years old, she had me to... Well, she was breastfeeding me, but there was no milk, so I guess she was just doing it for her own pleasure. So, I mean, that's kind of a child molesting if there's no milk and she's kind of making me suck her boobs, you know?
Well, actually, it's interesting because I've had this...
Really?
I know someone who had their kids doing this till they were six.
Yeah, well, in Europe they do this all the time.
That's
a bunch of fairies over there, but that's what they do.
But maybe that has something to do with one's orientation, or maybe the mother that would do that for an extended period would...
Well, no. I mean, we get women... I mean, we wean kids off the breast at, a year?
Yeah.
Year and a half or something?
2 years max.
My parents had me looking for a job at 2.5.
Oh, you were cleaning carpets at 4.
I was selling grit. Remember that? All right, but here's the deal. Here in Europe, they'll go to like 5-6 years old. They think it's like a normal thing.
But interesting about Maria saying, though, she's picking up on the fact that it was for her mom that this was going on.
That's the part that's weird about it. So how do you know? Have you ever had this conversation with her?
Yeah, I have, but she keeps on denying it because she thinks maybe I don't remember because I was so young. But I know the milk was not coming out, and she just was making me do that. And I knew that I didn't really think about it until, like, when I was older. I was like, wait, you know, my mom shouldn't have been doing that.
But you were 3, which is not 7, and maybe she thought you were going to get some milk.
Was she getting aroused or something? Did you have sense of something?
She did it for her own pleasure. She's been, like, prostituting. She's just, the most horrible mom you could ever have.
That's a different story.
All right. She was a drug addict?
No, but I think she may be bipolar because...
All right, so just having an addicted, crazy mom
your mom's crazy, but I don't think she was trying to get pleasure from you suckling on her.
Jim had a
No,
you had a crazy mom?
No, that was more than bipolar.
I had booze in my mouth,
You're bipolar?
I'm bipolar, yeah.
Are you on meds, off meds?
I'm on meds, a lot of them.
What do you got?
Trazodone, Prozac, Zyprexa, Neurontin.
You feel better?
Better?
Yeah. Once I took that one pill.
Would you get flesh ticks on that too while you're at it?
This crap is white.
Fletcher's got a visor. Right now. He's going to stop by later.
Oh, no.
I didn't take my pills today.
And Maria?
Uh-huh.
So there is some issue with the family.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, baby.
So you want to get back at mom, not back at dad. Look, you don't have a false relationship with anyone. Go and have your relationship with your girlfriend. Come clean if you want to, if you feel comfortable. We usually recommend people that they don't do it as any kind of payback or desire to get any kind of reaction from anybody.
To tell people stuff.
Yeah, it's just like if you have a lot of gay friends, you've got support, you're ready to come clean about who you are, go ahead.
Yeah.
That usually doesn't happen until about college.
It's so weird because we've never talked to anybody who wanted to tell their parents they were gay or lesbian who did not want to pay them back.
No.
But it's almost exclusively the women, it's a payback for daddy. And the guys, it's payback for mommy and daddy. But the women are always paying back daddy when they're going to come out and announce at the Thanksgiving dinner table that they're lesbian at 17. It's time to pay daddy back. And it's usually because daddy's a crazy religious zealot type who molested them when they were 4. Now his worst dreams are coming true. But we could get nothing from dad. And I was real confused for a minute there. And then turns out mom. Mm-hmm. And what about the fact that she thinks that this breastfeeding was a sexual thing?
She's pissed at mom.
She's taking this and turning it into a sexual offense.
Whatever, yeah.
Man, she must hate her mom.
Jen, 17.
Hi.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Happening.
On that happy note.
Well, I have a coworker, or former coworker, who threatened to rape me, and that's why he's my former coworker right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps calling me, and he found out that I was scared of him, because normally I wouldn't take these threats seriously, but I don't know anything about his past. He just moved out here from New York. For some reason, he got in trouble back there, and so I'm, like, literally scared for my life because of these threats that he's put out against me.
Did he use the word rape?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he said, I'm going to rape you?
Huh, yeah.
But it wasn't, like, good-natured rape, like, hey, I'm going to rape you.
Happy rape.
No, it was like, he shoved me up against the wall, and he's like, I'm going to rape you.
Oh.
I'm going to da-da-da-da-da.
Sometimes, you know, when they have, like, casual day on Friday, people will do that. You know,
how does he have your number?
Huh?
Well, he worked. He said this when they were at work.
I worked.
But then, yeah, how did he get your number after this?
Before all these threats started happening, I'm the type of person who will be very friendly to everyone, and I was like, oh, you don't know anyone. You know, here's my number, call me. I'll help you get into the ring so you can have friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I gave him my number, and we'd been talking, and then these threats came out, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, what do I do?
Okay.
You haven't told anybody?
The only people who know are, my store director and my assistant store director at work. And that's
what kind of place do you work?
A grocery store.
And what did they say?
All they said is that, you know, we're going to fire him. And they did. And that's pretty much been the end of it for them. But they do not know that he's continually tried to call me.
Oh, well, that's the part you were telling us you told him.
Yeah, tell him that.
We get the part where they know because you told us he got fired, right?
You need to get some self-defense classes and like some mace and stuff.
Really?
Like
uh-huh.
Did the threats get worse?
Do anything?
Or just some mace at least.
Yeah.
Did the threats get worse after they fired him?
Yeah, because it took him a while to figure out that I was one of the people who complained against him.
Mm-hmm.
But then now he's
isn't that
like,
weird?
Huh?
It seems weird that he threatened to rape you, and then it took him a while to figure out, I wonder if that was one of the reasons I was
not a great guy.
Fired.
Well, I did eat a grape over in produce, so the Asian guy may have had it in for me, Mr. Takahani. I did tell him I did leave a nickel on the counter, though. Must have been the chick I threatened to rape and push up against the wall. Yeah, yeah. It's got to be her.
I wasn't the only one he threatened.
Oh, I see.
So that's why.
Is he continuing to threaten anyone?
I'm the only one. Because he knows the most about me.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay. Are you living on your own?
No, I'm living at home still.
Is there anyone around there who can help you out with this?
Yeah, I just haven't been able to bring myself to tell my family because I've never been encountered with such a situation.
Have you tried calling police yet?
The friends at work, because the other girls who were threatened, they're like, please, please, please don't tell the cops. I don't want him to come after me, da-da-da-da-da. So they won't, they're like, I mean, I have thought about it, but they don't
what
want...
What would telling the police have to do with him coming after other people?
Because he would, I don't know. They just think that I would bring
him
a
rant.
Situation.
Yeah. Tell the police.
Okay.
Well, what'd this guy do over there? Worked in the back?
No, we both, I'm a cashier and he was a bagger.
Mm.
And he cornered me at work one day when I was on break, up in the break room.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody was up there, so.
All right, that must call the cops.
Did you get any post-traumatic stress reaction or anything from that?
No, I don't think so.
Wasn't that a horrible experience?
Huh?
Wasn't that an awful experience?
It was. It was terrible. I mean, I was frightened, and I still am, but I don't know.
Okay, well, listen, tell the people at work, too, because I don't know if they still have some legal responsibility here, you know, ex-employee and all that kind of stuff.
I would think.
One would think, yeah. All right, what do you want to do? Let's hear a song.
All right.
What song are we hearing?
No Light.
Hold on. You queued up there, Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anderson, you're saying no. We'll play a song and we'll go to break.
So that's Anderson.
That's right.
There he is.
This is from Third Strike. It's called No Light. That is No Light from Third Strike off of Lost Angel. That is the name of their CD. Jim and Eric are both here from the band. I'm in the captain's chair.
Your voice is changing.
Feeling good.
It's like a tone change.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Back in control.
Scary.
All right, we're going to take a few more calls and talk to the band, do all that. But first, we'll take a quick break. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Third Strike's our guest. Jim and Eric are both here from the band. Lost Angels, the name of the CD, and we'll hear something else off of that in the 11 o'clock hour. But, you know, Drew, I don't know if I was talking to you about this, but I figured out something.
Mm-hmm.
It's often...
I'm shocked.
Something that has plagued me for a while is how far to stand behind the guy at the ATM when you're in a bank. Hmm. Like, what is that buffer? There's no line. I'd appreciate it if they put a line in there.
But you never
threw a line on the ground.
I'd say what? It's about 4 feet, 5 feet, isn't it?
So you can't read the PIN number.
Here's what I figured out. The guy wants a little space. You know, no one wants to be doing their business and having a guy crowd them.
Right.
But you don't want to be 12 feet behind him. Someone's going to slide in front of you. That seems too far.
I bet you it's different here than New York, too.
Less room in New York?
Yeah, I betcha. Well,
here's what I figured out. Here's what I came up with. And I was testing it out at the in the man show office on Thursday. And it worked nicely. I mean, we got enough guys. We can try it. The distance you should be behind somebody who's at the ATM is your height lying down on the ground.
Which is your arm width. Which is this?
Yeah,
this is your arm span. Is it the same thing?
Usually, it's real close.
It's 6 feet. Yeah.
Real close.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we could do it right now. You'll see what I'm talking about.
That's what I was thinking.
It's a perfect equation. Yeah. Because if a dude's 7 foot, you can't set a limit, and you don't want to say everyone should be 4.5 feet behind you, because a 7 foot guy would be intimidating at that length. On the other hand, if a guy is 4.5 feet, you could have him at 4.5 feet. Whatever the height is, it feels good. We got to go out in the hall and try this.
I will.
You stand like you're at the ATM.
I think we're kidding. No.
No, we'll do this. And I'm going to lie down, and then I'll mark my head, and then I'll stand back up my feet. You'll see how good it feels.
Is that really it?
Yeah.
Even for dwarfs, that's the way?
It's a good question.
Dwarfs, achondroplastic dwarfs, don't have limbs. Their limbs don't grow. That's why they're short. So
it wouldn't work for them.
Okay.
Well, that might.
Usually
dwarf in here.
Your wingspan is basically
roughly,
your height.
Yeah, roughly.
Yeah, sometimes a little bit more. But let's talk to Lindsay, who's 17. Lindsay?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I was calling about the girl who had the rape threat at her grocery store.
Right.
And I used to work at a grocery store, and I'm just thinking she should probably go to her union.
Okay.
Because they'll take care of it.
All right. That makes sense. The union guys will break his kneecaps.
Get some of the teamsters to go in there and rough him up a little bit.
Well, especially because he's probably part of the union, too, so...
Well, he worked there
before he got canned. Yeah.
But he may be working at another grocery store.
Possibly, yeah. They have a baggers union?
Yeah, they do.
It's quite a racket, this grocery union. You get,
I know.
I mean, you can be a checker, you can get like $16 an hour and a bunch of golden time and all these benefits and all this stuff just for checking bags, right? I mean,
well, yeah, and I bagged groceries, and that's a lot harder.
Yeah.
And I only got paid half as much.
Yep, that's how it works, sister. Yeah, well, the harder you work, the less you get paid.
Right, you see how easy Adam's got it now.
Well, yeah.
As compared to how you had to work when you were humping drywall.
Yeah, dug ditches and cleaned carpets and humped drywall and got $7 an hour. Now I get $8.75 an hour, and I sit here and talk on the radio every night. It's just 2 hours, so, you know, after tax, about $15. But
I work in the insurance department, in the claims department, and I work harder, and I don't get paid as much either.
Yeah, well, baby, you're 17. What do you want?
Yeah, what are all these jobs by 17?
How much working did you do?
I've been working a long time.
What's up?
Were you emancipated minor?
No.
Okay.
Wow. Can you imagine 17, that checker job by 17? Are you kidding? You would have killed for it.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I wasn't a checker. I was a bagger.
Right. All right, bagger. Right. You going to school, too?
I graduated high school.
And you just...
No, I'm getting married.
Mm. Oh. Wow. You'll be dead by 24, and people will go, yeah, she had a good long life.
Accomplished.
She had Yeah. She graduated high school at 14.
Three different
she
careers.
She was working as a claims investigator at 15 and a half, married at 17.
Four kids
by the time she was 19, and she died. She
no
had grandkids.
Way.
Everyone was around her bed when she died at 24. She went peacefully in her sleep, natural causes.
I'll have you write my eulogy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, I'll start off with, I didn't know her, but she called the show in.
Yeah.
All right, baby, take care.
All right.
Good times.
Good night.
Right. Yeah, don't get married.
Oh, why not? She's actually 17. 48.
She's 17.
Going on 47. What the hell?
Yeah. All right. Really want to get married? How old is your fiance?
19.
That's soon, huh?
Young love.
Why so soon?
She's only going to 24.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. Yeah, I'm dying soon, I guess.
Right. All right, baby.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
All right.
If you should have, like, the rest of us live to 75, 80, you may think this is a little bit premature.
Yeah.
When you're looking back 60 years.
It's weird, those handful of kids or adolescents or teenagers to just decide, look, I'm not going to... My friends stretch their adolescence into their late 30s.
What are you talking about?
Well, they're still going.
Thank you.
They're still going. A lot of them. But... Some people just go, you know, they get a steady boyfriend or girlfriend the first year of high school, they graduate, they start working, and they just set up shop. I mean, they set up house at like 18, and you run into them at like 20, and it's like they got a kid on their arm, they're driving a minivan, and they're into it. I don't understand that. Aren't you supposed to try to prolong that period of your life?
It's a different breed of person.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't trust that breed. Amanda?
Hi, Adam.
You're 19?
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, okay. First, I just want to say hi to you and Drew, because you guys are awesome. Adam,
Thanks. You're
gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you're single, because it means I still have a snowball's chance in hell.
No, I have a girlfriend.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, but how old are you, 19?
Yes.
All right. What's
all
up?
All right. Well, I guess this means I have to quit stalking you.
Mm. Well, facts over a picture.
Yeah.
Eric will take you.
All right, anyway.
Third strike in the studio.
Go ahead.
Okay, this question's mainly for Drew, but of course Adam can put his input anytime. And so, Drew, you know about, like, gender dysphoria, where people think they're born into the wrong gender.
Right.
But is there such a thing that's been documented as racial dysphoria?
Why not?
Yeah.
Somebody born into the wrong race. I'm a Zulu caught in a white man's body. You know, why not?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same kind of thing.
I just wondered because I think that's something that I kind of...
How would we make the conversion, though? Well, maybe Michael Jackson, maybe.
Well, what is he becoming? He's becoming a Martian. I'm becoming a white guy, is he?
He's lighting his skin.
What are you trying to become, Amanda? Or what are you stuck in? You're white?
Yeah, I'm white. And I feel like I was born of the wrong race, and I feel like I should be a Japanese girl.
Why? What does that mean?
He should know.
It's just like I feel more attracted to that culture. I just don't feel right. You know, sometimes you can't, you know, people like a girl who thinks she should be a guy, you know.
Yeah, but there's no reason you can't just, it's a preference, and why can't you just be with Asian people and indulge in that culture and enjoy, just as if you enjoyed certain kind of, you know, food or dress or anything else.
Well, yeah, but it's still, there's still kind of that uncomfortable feeling.
That you should be Asian yourself?
Yeah.
How are you at math?
Lousy.
That's the problem.
That's strike one. They're never going to let you in. Never. I tried. You understand? I failed algebra. They wouldn't let me in.
I thought that was just a male requirement.
No. The women need to be good at math, too.
Have you lived in Japan?
No, but I want to.
I think they'll give you a math pass if you can play the violin.
Violin, exactly.
Can you play the violin?
Yes.
You can? Oh.
Yes.
All right. Well, that cancels out the math thing.
All right.
We're back on track.
You meet people all the time that love
French or Italian. They want to go live there. Same thing. It's the same thing. Just because people look a little different, we want to put more emphasis on it. But no, it's the same thing. You just that you like that you admire that culture. You enjoy it. You go indulge.
You can learn the language and do the whole thing, right?
Yeah, I've learned a lot of the language already. I'm definitely by no means fluent, but
you just head over there and just enjoy. I don't understand why you have to make it a
apology. I think you'll be a little disappointed.
T-day opi.
Well, it's just, you know, I don't think I've really blown it out of proportion. I mean, it doesn't keep me awake at night, but, you know.
Well, you're wanting to make it a pathology, and I would suggest you not, and think of it more in terms of a preference.
And let me tell you, I think they're going to disappoint you, those Asians. Let me tell you something, my take on the Asian culture. Okay. It's like, the Asian culture is like a blonde chick from across the bar when you're drunk. But when you get up close, sometimes it's like, not so good. You know what I mean? From afar, good. You get right in the middle of it, it's bad. You know what I mean? It's too crowded. They eat a lot of fish heads.
Yeah.
They kill like a lot of endangered species. They get their penis to be bigger. They
rhino horn.
Rhino horn harvesting and a bear pancreas and you know, they do a lot of whaling and that kind of stuff. They screw over the women too a lot of the time. Yeah?
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, go over there. Drew, we don't need you.
Ask one more thing, and it applies to this.
Hmm? Yes.
I thought part of it might have to do with the fact that I'm adopted, and I don't know any of my racial background at all.
No, that's interesting. Wouldn't that be interesting if she were Asian somehow?
No, she's not, but she wants to sign herself something.
But what if she were? I mean, maybe she doesn't look it, but maybe she had a...
Well, she would look it. You would look it.
Some, you know, maybe.
Wouldn't you? I never met anyone who was like a quarter Asian that didn't look Asian.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
No, no.
This is a sneak by. This is a sneak by like that.
The closest thing I could imagine that I have is I have a pretty round face and I have like kind of small eyes that are not quite so round.
How's your rack? Well, that's just beady. That's not slanty.
Sounds like a Martian.
How's the rack? How's the rack?
36C.
Yeah, C's a little big for the Asians. They're B crowd.
Yeah, but again, it's not 100% here.
All right. Look, you pick whatever food you like the best and make yourself that one.
Wouldn't that be fascinating?
That's the way I would do it.
If you had an Asian mom or something, that'd be fascinating.
No, don't get her going. If I didn't know what my ethnicity was, I would decide what my favorite food was and call myself that.
But this is like those kids that are born male and they slough the penis off in an accident and they raise them female and they never can get it. They're constantly like wanting to do these male things and they never, you know.
Well, can you figure out so if you're adopted, well, people who are adopted then may not know their nationality, right?
Yeah, I suppose not.
But I mean, if you look in the mirror and you have fair skin and fair hair, we could do the math. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could narrow it down to a dozen countries or something like that, right? But there's no test, right? I mean, couldn't get a semen sample and figure out where you're from.
I imagine with the Human Genome Project, that will be possible, I bet.
Eventually, we'll be able to do that, right?
Yeah, pretty soon.
Take a little swab with the saliva and figure out where you're from.
There's still all kinds of debate about what race even is.
Yeah. I mean, that's my plan. I want to get that Geno Project going. I want to code everybody and then start setting up camps. Not bad camps. Camp has such a
fun
negative
camps.
Fun camp.
Happy camp.
Summer camp.
Irish camp, Italian camp, African camp. A Chinese camp, a bunch of camps, and then we could go have like slumber parties and sleepovers and stuff. But we knew where to get the best food. You know what I mean? I mean, if you wanted Italian that night, you know where to go,
this
right?
This is all a reaction to you being pissed off that there's little Italy in Los Angeles.
Well, there should be a little Italy in Los Angeles, for Christ's sake. We're big enough city that we should have a little Italy, right?
Yeah, but your camps will take care of that.
We're not asking for big or even medium Italy. We're asking for little Italy. You think they could pull that
off? It's in San Pedro.
Is that where it is?
It is.
They got a little Italy over there?
It's hiding over there, yeah. Little Italy and little Yugoslavia.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting.
Huh.
It's big out there.
Have to get out there. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Third Strike is our guest tonight. And when we come back, we'll speak to Lindsay. She's 21, got pregnant, and now the guy's going nuts, being self-destructive. I guess this is the father. Mm. We'll talk to him or her after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Jim and Eric are both here tonight for Third Strike.
Hello.
Lost Angels, the name of the CD. It is out. These guys are going to be on the Warped Tour and on the Ozfest Tour, and that's coming up this summer. Which one starts first?
Warped Tour. The CD comes out Tuesday.
All right, so 2 days, right? I always think it's Monday, but we start the show on Sunday, don't we? Yeah, it's horrible. All right, but it's good on Friday, right, Drew?
Good. Good times.
Yeah. Lindsay?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
I got pregnant from this guy who I don't know very well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a fraternity. He's in Sigma Chi.
Yep.
And
No way.
I don't believe you.
No, I don't believe you.
No, he is.
No.
No. We believe he's in that fraternity. We just don't believe that this is a real call.
Why?
Why would you give the fraternity out?
You don't know where what state he lives in or what city he's in.
I don't know why. Why would you add that piece of information as to which fraternity he was a part of?
Because it's a big one.
Busted.
Yeah, but
people when they're having very difficult experiences don't want detail. They don't want to expose what they want to just have a anonymous conversation about it.
All right, but Lindsay.
Right.
You're not the smartest girl in the world, are you?
I think I'm pretty smart.
But you couldn't be an Asian, could you?
No, I'm not an Asian.
All right, you're not Asian material, are you?
I'm white.
Yeah, I'm saying you're white for now, and that's how you're going to stay, right?
Right.
Right, but you're not Asian material.
No.
You don't play the violin?
No.
You don't have an abacus or a calculator up your ass, right?
Sure don't.
All right. So, she may have made that comment because she wasn't too sharp. That's all right. Go ahead, Lindsay.
So,
Asian wouldn't have gotten pregnant out of marriage this way, out of wedlock.
Certainly not from Sigma Chi.
Yeah.
I didn't plan for this to happen.
That's what I'm saying. An Asian would have planned.
How long have you been into this pregnancy?
About 5 weeks.
Okay.
5 weeks? How did you find out you were pregnant?
Well, I was on depo, and I was like starting to spot, so I went into my school's health center, and they were like, okay, well, we'll just randomly do a pregnancy test, and it was positive.
Were you late on the depo?
No, not at all.
So you got pregnant on the depo shot?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is even stranger. So, and he knew I was on depo, and so he was like, well, if you got pregnant on depo, this is meant to be. You shouldn't have an abortion, whatever, whatever, whatever. But he's acting really, really crazy.
What's he doing?
His roommate, well, I just went up and saw him today because he lives 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
But I went up and saw him today, and his roommates told me he's been sleeping till like 3 or 4 o'clock, not going to class, and like drinking a lot, and I've talked to him like numerous times, and he's drunk, he's at bars, I mean, he's trashed, and he's doing a lot of ecstasy, which is not something that I knew that he was doing before.
He needs some help here.
Well, I want to tell his dad.
Well, how do you know his dad?
Well, I don't really know his dad. I've never met him, but I know what his name is, and I know their phone number.
Can you just haul his ass to student services, student health services, and
how's she gonna get him?
She goes up there and visits, and get him in there, and or call, get an appointment, and then show up, get it there, have his friends help him get his butt in there, and see if they can.
Well, were you guys weren't even boyfriend and girlfriend, right?
No, and we're still not. That's the point.
Do you want to be boyfriend and girlfriend with him?
Yeah, I do.
Do you want to have this child?
Yeah, I do.
Was your dad an alcoholic?
No, not at all.
Mom?
No.
And what are you doing now? You going to college?
Yeah, I go to school and I work for a big retailer.
All right.
It's going to be hard with a kid.
Doing both those things. In fact, impossible.
Do you want to give the kid up for adoption?
I don't think as a woman I would be able to do that.
No, but as somebody who's trying to make a decision for a child, that's the best thing for the child. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to do? You know, Barbara Walters had a special last week about adoption and things, and I think it was Barbara's daughter was saying that she always felt...
She's becoming Asian.
She is.
The plastic surgery, yeah.
But she was saying, her daughter was saying that she always felt that her biological mother had been the bravest and most loving mother because of her making a choice on behalf of the child, even though it was painful to the mother, she made a decision on behalf of the child.
Yeah. Well, she said she didn't think she could do it as a mother, but as an adult, you should be able to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is the problem. We're having people that they're mothers by virtue of the fact that they're having a kid. I mean, any time a kid pops out of your vagina, technically, you're a mother. True, that happened to you, right?
Came right out.
You had three. Came right out of your vagina.
But, actually, out of my urethra.
But we got a lot of 16, 17, 18, and young people that... technically, they're going to be moms, but it'd be better if they were just better adults and did the adult thing and made the mature decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. And listen, your nearly boyfriend here, the father of your child, needs some help. And it sounds like he's getting into some behaviors that could be cause lifelong damage, perhaps. Oh.
But what is she supposed to do? I mean, she lives 2 hours away.
Again,
he's not around when she goes over there.
Enlist his friends, get him in there, call his dual services, see what they've got available.
All
and if ultimately you have to, calling the dad is not a bad thing to do. You got to do whatever you have to do.
All right.
But don't...
He told me that if I called his dad, it would ruin his life and his dad wouldn't support him anymore.
Well, don't expect, whatever you do, don't expect it to enhance this boyfriend-girlfriend fantasy you have, because I'm not sure that's meant to be.
Drew, you were in... college or Chi Delta something? What were you? Were you something?
Well, I lived at Chi Phi. I hung out with guys.
Really?
I took some time off from college. I missed.
Oh,
I missed all that stuff. Hung out with Chi Psi.
Hmm.
Why?
I was just curious.
No, I never
just
really joined
for Jared?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. Whenever I masturbate, one time I almost passed out.
Jared, a boy.
Jared the guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you're maybe starting too young.
I don't know.
Is it when you climax?
I don't believe him.
You gotta warm up.
Are you hyperventilating?
No.
Yeah, I always skip about 10 minutes of rope before I beat off.
Yeah.
Try to get the blood circulating. Jared?
Yeah.
Have you done this successfully before?
Yeah.
This masturbation?
Yeah.
All right. And were you standing up? Don't beat off in the shower, because that's where they'll find you.
No, I don't.
You understand? You'll get lightheaded, you'll whack your head on a soap dish, and you'll drown in 3 inches of water.
You actually shouldn't be afraid to tell your doctor about this if you're alone with a physician. And realize it is probably just some hyperventilation, and there's some bearing down. Maybe your vagus nerve puts out some hormones, some chemicals, and that slows your heart down.
It's probably just holding his breath for too long.
It's the bearing down, the hyperventilation.
You forget about the necessities. I mean, the basics. You stop breathing. My heart stops beating when I beat off. Lungs stop functioning.
Of course.
I pull a calf muscle every once in a while. Go for that toe point.
Yeah.
Jared?
Yeah.
So, talk to the doctor?
Yeah, and just pay attention to your breathing. All right?
All right, buddy?
Okay.
All right, good times, all right?
Okay, I love your show.
Yeah. Love your penis.
No, that's what he's doing.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right there, buddy. We're going to take a little break. Third Strike is our guest, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Third Strike is our guest tonight. Jim and Eric are here from the band. Lost Angels, the name of the CD, and it is out this Tuesday.
Yes.
All right. So Tiffany is on line one. She's 25 years old. And her question is...
Tiffany?
You.
Am I on?
You're on.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Hey, I was calling. I was wondering what I should do. Every time I'm with my husband, I'm imagining him as a famous person. I'm not going to say who, but I'm obsessed with him. And it's kind of damaging to my marriage.
Why? How long have you been married?
I've been married 5 years.
And how long have you been having this obsession?
The past year.
And anything change in your marriage?
Well, my husband's noticed it. He's been mentioning it to me.
That what? That?
That I'm not the most into him, it seems like.
And yet, by thinking of this other person, you're able to respond to him?
What's that?
By thinking of this other person, you're able to respond to him?
Yeah. I mean, I totally close my eyes and envision him.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been thinking of Jennifer Love Hewitt the whole time. He's been on top of you, so it's only fair.
Has anything changed in the relationship other than this preoccupation you had, is there anything changed that up to the time when you developed this preoccupation? You know what I'm saying? Was anything already going on in the relationship?
Besides this, or say, I mean, like...
Before this, really leading up to this, was there a child? Is there no...
I have a child, yes.
Is he not available the way you need him to be? Is he at work more? Is there something else going on?
No, I wouldn't say that. We have a child that is very involved, meaning mentally handicapped. And he's 2 years old. And so I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but it kind of makes me feel like if I think of him as this person, I think of I don't have to deal with my life.
Who's the person?
The person I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Brad's so beautiful. No, it's Ben Affleck.
But it'll be Brad tonight, right?
Now you mention it.
Now, let me ask you something. Let me ask you a quick question about retarded kids. They have all these, every time you see, like, they go, well, he's 20 years old, but mentally he's like 7. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But when he was 7, was he like a zygote? Yeah, was he negative? I mean, what was he? At a certain point, don't you got to be what you are? How far into your mom can you get? Do you know what I'm saying?
Are you talking about kids? Like,
yeah.
Retarded kids? My child's only 2.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to do with Wyatt, my son Wyatt is has a rare gene disorder, and he's like a paraplegic.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's into me as much as any kid can be into a mom, because I know I can see it in his eyes. So that's totally different. And no, I don't think that any other mentally retarded children are. I'm sure I've seen other children; they're totally different.
And there's all kinds of
That didn't answer my question.
I know. Let me just say, there's all kinds of dysfunctions of the brain.
Right.
And the right brain, the part that we use to connect and communicate emotionally with other people, are sometimes is intact, even though the cognitive elements are completely gone.
Right.
In terms of how the development occurs, it's a sort of more of a formula like dog years.
Right.
It accelerates for a while and decelerates at times. There's no direct relationship. It's like this kid's delayed.
Well, maybe you're right with the dog thing. Maybe at like 4, you're like a puppy.
Right.
I mean, like another species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see.
Timothy?
So
is your child ever going to be okay, or is it always going to be?
He just had a second stroke, actually.
Oh,
and
boy.
He died from the second stroke.
Wow.
But
I think, listen.
Oakland's is wonderful, I have to say.
Tiffany, I think absolutely that your instinct that this is a way to be sort of taken away and transported from your life. Just, you know, adolescents do this too, right? They get these preoccupations with bigger than life rock stars and celebrities and things. And it's a way of being taken away and being feeling safe.
Why does your husband have to know about it though?
Should I not tell him?
Yeah, don't tell him.
It's a decent plan.
To me, it's one of the things that suggests to me is that you're depressed. And
you think I'm depressed?
It suggests to me that you're probably depressed.
Sounds like,
yeah.
Maybe if I just met Ben, my depression would go away.
But now you're thinking like a 14-year-old. Yeah. You understand?
That's fun to be 14, though, right? At 14?
Yeah, but you're not. You're 25 and you have an impaired child.
Ironically, the 25-year-old Tiffany is
14.
Emotionally.
Have you ever called out Ben's name?
When I'm having sex?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
All right, but if you do, tell him it's Ben Gazzara, an older guy. He won't feel as threatened. All right?
Ben.
Okay.
Yeah.
Name of the game, 1972, right?
Well, wait a minute. He was in that Patrick Swayze movie where he's a bouncer, too. So that was a fine film.
Great movie.
Yeah. Roadhouse. Yeah. That's right. He ran the evil town till Swayze blew it.
Well, that was Ben Gazzara.
Yeah, okay. Ben Gazzara was the heavy in that. Oh,
that's right up there with Zapped. Great film.
Oh, okay. No, Zapped. You know, Zapped was a movie, but Roadhouse was a film. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Glad you know the difference.
Best cooler in the business, that Patrick Swayze. I always like those movies when a bouncer rolls into town and everyone knows who he is.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a big scene.
Yeah.
Bouncer scene.
Yeah, they're in some small town in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, yeah, I've heard about him. He's the best.
Well, bouncers went through a romantic period similar to the truck drivers.
I think Mr. T got that going in the later 70s.
Yeah. He's making a comeback.
He put bouncers on the map. But if everyone just kind of closes their eyes and scratches their brain and thinks, could you really name one bouncer besides Mr. T and Patrick Swayze, best in the business? Sophia?
Yes.
Yeah, they called it a cooler, though. That's bouncer talk for bouncer.
Turn your radio off.
They called it a what?
Turn your radio off.
It's off.
All right, what's up?
Okay. They called it a what?
Just go ahead, baby.
Oh.
You ever see Roadhouse?
I thought you said they called it a cooler, and I'm like, eh.
Whatever. Okay, baby. How much time do you have to waste of yours before you get to your goddamn question?
Not too much. All okay, right. Here's my question. I'm 22 years old.
She's so checking out groceries.
She's bagging.
Yeah, checking
out. Like,
that's a
out
car,
here.
Right?
I'm just trying to hang out. You know, I've got things going on. I've got a boyfriend, 28, and he's a big football player guy, and we've been dating for about a year and a half. And when we started dating, I really wanted to get him into toys, and I wanted to get him into, like, a strap-on.
Yeah.
And it took me a while, but I convinced him to do it. Like, I convinced him to let me go, let me buy the strap-on. Spent, like, $200 on it. We got everything going, and
he's gold-plated.
No, it's not gold-plated. It's called the Nexus.
Cool.
Right.
He's really into it.
The strap-on.
Yeah, seriously.
Right.
You use it on him?
I use it on him.
Right.
Mm. Anally type thing.
Sure, sure. We did the math.
Okay.
Could have gone his vagina.
Now that he's really into it, I'm starting to wane. It's something that's not as exciting as it was.
He's
got
to not want it. It's got to make him feel bad in order for you to be into
but,
it.
But no, not really.
It's just weirding you out that he's so into it?
Maybe. I don't know. And that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, either that or now I want it to be even something more. Because we went through the stages, like the sizes of what it was going to be.
Yeah, you gradually built up the size of the strap-on?
Exactly, yeah.
Until eventually it was like a bowling pin on a Louisville source harness.
Yeah.
Jesus
the
Christ.
The pummeler.
Oh, my God.
What's up with you, baby?
You know?
Kinky.
Nothing. I'm actually a really normal girl. Like, No. Before I started dating him, I dated, I don't know if it makes a difference, but I dated a woman for a year and a half.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So getting out of that, something.
Maybe she just saw the strap on and figured you were a dude and didn't, did she ever know?
Dating.
No. Okay. It was always
How
dark.
Much porn do you watch?
A little.
Yeah. Sophia, you got
well,
a lot
what's up with you, yeah, baby? You got a lot of energy.
Got stuff going on.
Something happened to you?
Maybe that's it. What do you mean?
Anyone molest you?
Yeah, when I was younger.
All right, well, that's what,
from that.
Yeah, we magically pounced upon this, but it couldn't have anything to do with it.
Brilliant deduction.
That's what creates it, Sophia. Seriously,
though, here's the thing. It's like I've been through my therapy. I've dealt with my devils, and I've gone through life, and graduated from college, and I'm well on my way. You know, it's like it's not like I've spent my life trying to figure out who I am. I know who I am, and I'm in a great relationship, but I just keep wanting to take things
to another level.
This is having been sexually abused. It makes it difficult to have arousal without all these sort of the same kinds of shamey experiences you had, you need to bring into your arousal experiences.
Well, this is actually the first time that I've ever been able to climax with in my entire life.
Do you climax when you have the strap on?
No, I don't. He has, though.
He does?
Yeah.
With no stimulation to his junk?
No, there's stimulation, too. I mean, it's a double-edged sword thing.
Huh.
It goes both ways, but...
No, wait a minute. You're violating him with this strap-on, right?
It's not a violation.
Oh. All right, well, for violating lack of a better term.
Entering him.
Yes.
There you go.
You're entering.
For those of us sitting here, it's a violation.
But it's not entering like the Avon lady. It's entering like when the strike force goes in to get a prisoner who won't come out of a cell. It's that kind of thing. Five guys in a football uniform, all bum rushing.
Yeah.
Some black guy in his underpants who's urinating on them through the bars. That's the kind of entering it is. All right, so you enter him, and then he's in a doggy position?
No, he's on his back.
Oh, he is?
Hold on a second. How do you do that?
Why did it become weirder when he got on his back? I don't know why. When he was on, I had him, in my mind's eye, I had him on all fours. I had him doggy.
He was there, yeah.
And her behind him. I was emotionally okay with that. Yeah. And then I found out he was missionary. Now it got weird.
He must be in her at the same time.
No. Can you do that?
Well, she's saying that she's doing a man giving him a hand job at the same time.
Right. I think he's giving him a hand job.
He's giving him.
Sophia?
Bingo. Yes.
Who's doing the manipulation of his junk?
Well, both of us. We switch off, but it's me usually.
Who finishes him off, though? I mean, when the time comes.
I do.
You. So you're giving him the hand and the strap on.
Yes.
Wow. And then you have the orgasm when he then has sex with you, right?
Well, no, because we don't really. I mean, he's done.
Well, where do you get your orgasm?
I don't. Unless I get it beforehand.
But you were talking about having an orgasm with the guy.
Right. But that's only when we have intercourse. That's the only way.
All right. You need a chalkboard with some of these people.
Yeah, if I had a chalkboard, I'd hit her on the head with it.
Sophia, listen. So anyway, these overwhelming experiences in childhood are what make it difficult to have routine kinds of arousal experiences in adulthood. And it is, are you an alcoholic or an addict also?
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
Have you ever been?
No, never. I've never taken a single drug.
Well, this is her form.
This may be. Have you have a family history of alcoholism?
No.
All right.
Well, I mean, a little bit here and there, but not really. Right. Yeah, I guess. But
right. You either are a sexual compulsive or a sexual addict. And if you have the gene for addiction, that's, those two together make addiction. But having been sexually abused can make you highly sexually compulsive. And that's kind of the road you're going down, where you can't find normal arousal and routine kinds of experiences. And you keep trying to couple it with experiences of shame and the kinds of highly overwhelming experiences you had in childhood. And eventually you're going to start feeling guilty and you start exactly what you're experiencing. You're starting to turn off and push your partner away. It sort of doesn't feel good anymore at a certain point.
Was this the Ben Affleck call?
No, yeah. Different one.
Different. Wow. Does he have balls? Does that strap on have balls? Or?
No.
No?
No, well, yeah.
$200, no balls?
It does.
Thank you.
$200.
Thank goodness.
And you had to buy the leather part, too.
But, Sophia, I would suggest you look into the National Council on Sexual Addiction and Compulsivity, because these things actually have specific treatments. You'd have to go to somebody who's used to dealing with these behavioral compulsions. And although you've dealt with the psychodynamic and that stuff, there is still some leftover remnant physiology of having been through those experiences, and they have very specialized treatment.
How does she up the ante, by the way, sexually with this chap? I mean, she's saying she wanted to up the ante.
He will be pulling a wagon dressed as a pony one of these days.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Oh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right.
And he can still get the whips and the violence and all that stuff going, too.
Yeah, that's one of those.
I think she's getting weirded out that he's so into it, though.
Yeah, it's actually bringing her into that space where she's trying to get, and all of a sudden it's guilt and shame, and oh my God, it's awful. And so where she thinks she needs to go to be aroused ends up being not such a fun place.
Does it have to be sexual abuse that pushes you that way, or could you just be desensitized by watching porn so much?
It's an interesting question. We've kind of wondered about that.
Well,
there's no doubt about that.
For women, it usually should be some abuse.
For guys, some physical abuse can sort of send you down that path, but not quite as intensely as what Sophia's got.
Yeah. Mm. As a guy, though, who's missionary and getting it with the strap on, don't you just have to look up at some point and wonder what your gender is?
Exactly.
Not your gender. What's your life's all about.
What the hell am I doing?
You got
some chick up here banging the bejesus out of me right now.
Jesus, that's a bad visual.
Oh,
yeah.
I still don't get on the back part. I still can't get
the guy's probably like, listen, I didn't take my pill, so pull out.
What's this? On the back?
Not on the belly. Not on the belly.
Cradle the balls.
Josh?
Yeah.
You're 23.
Yeah.
What's up?
Do you guys want the background first or the question?
Question.
I'm wondering whether or not I should tell my ex-girlfriend that I may have chlamydia.
Why wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, see, here's the problem. I got a call from the girl I'm seeing now, and she got a pap smear. And the doctor told her that she had chlamydia.
Right.
So, of course, I go to the doctor, and he didn't do a test on me because I didn't have the slow drip or anything.
It kind of doesn't matter. If she's got it, you got to be treated for it.
Right, that's what he said. So now I'm taking antibiotics.
Good. Do you think you got it from the new girlfriend? Or does she think she got it from you?
She thinks she got it from me, and I don't really know. And so I'm trying to figure out.
You should take the advice of her doctor. If he thinks it's something new, then probably you're going to have to tell your old girlfriend. If he thinks it is something that she may have had for a while that you now contracted, then let him advise you what to do.
Is that my doctor or her doctor?
Her doctor, because it's kind of a weird situation. Or his. You can ask your doctor, too, of course, but it's kind of a weird situation. I mean, do you want to unnecessarily, you know, alarm this ex-girlfriend, or is it really an important and ethical thing to do?
Well, I don't want to alarm her, but I know she's seeing somebody new now. And, you know, I prefer not to talk to her, you know, but if... it wouldn't surprise me if I got it from her, I guess.
I mean, but if you did get it from her, she probably already knows she has it then, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's the thing about chlamydia, you can have it for a long time and not know it, yeah.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I was trying to figure out, because I wasn't showing any signs. I didn't, you know, it didn't hurt when I peed or anything like that. So I was wondering if maybe I just didn't have it.
Oh, maybe it's, really it's possible, it's but possible. They just treat it anyway,
they
right?
They treat it anyway, that's right.
All right, so what do we think he should do?
Well, I'm debating whether or not I need to give my old girlfriend a call up.
It's not an absolute, we're saying it's not an absolute must. I'm saying take the direction of the people who's responsible from a public health standpoint. It is, in fact, to direct you on this one.
All right, let's, I want to talk to Ashley here. Ashley?
Hi.
16?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have, like, a lot of excess hair on my body where I think, like, for a girl I shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. You can't be an Asian. Not gonna make it.
Unfortunately not.
God, Adam, neither you.
Yeah, I'm a mess. What's your nationality? You got one of them hairy nationalities?
Oh, God. Please don't tell me it's hereditary, but I'm half Persian.
Yeah.
And, and the other half is just, like English, Canadian, Dutch type of thing.
And your family, is there a lot of hair?
Well, not really, like, on the Persian side, it's like, well, it's not really, because, like, okay. I look at my mom, and she's not really like that.
All right, hold on. Are you overweight?
No, just probably by 10 pounds, but that's it.
Do you have irregular periods?
Well, now I do, because I've been, like, taking the pills, I thought, like, that might help it somehow, but...
Help the hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sometimes does.
So where is it? Is it on your lip, or on your arms, or downstairs, or...
It's on my stomach. Like, I shave my stomach now, and it's on my back, and it's also on my butt and everything. It's really, like,
it's really bad.
It's just, like, everywhere, and it's, like...
Maybe, like, your low back, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, women don't get on the upper back, do they?
No.
We could never have kids, Ashley, because their rear ends would be a mess.
They wouldn't be.
They have a ton of hair.
Not human kids, no.
Yeah.
Apple stop.
Be like, yeah, what about one of these...
light treatments. Laser.
It's expensive for me.
Too expensive.
I used to have electric, but it really hurts, and it got too expensive after a while.
Wow. Yeah, Drew, aren't they going to... They must be working on some kind of pill.
There are a number of different things.
Really?
Even something as simple as something called Aldactone they sometimes will give.
How does that work on your ass hair, not on your eyebrows and your head hair?
Does it grow back in?
It works on your body here, yeah, it does. Because that's very highly dependent on androgens and circulating hormones.
So, I mean, you will have pubic hair. I mean, you'll have, like, eyebrows, eyelashes, head hair.
Yeah.
But if you lower the androgens, it'll work on your forearm hair and your ass hair and that kind of stuff.
The cheek and stuff, yeah.
Well, maybe she should. Who should she talk to then?
An endocrinologist. There are also at least there's several other different conditions that women commonly get that can cause this. Something called polycystic ovarian disease and congenital adrenal hyperplasia sometimes. There are various hormonal conditions that can cause this that have their own specific treatments.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Oh, no, of course not. Too insecure.
Oh, is it insecure about the hair? Or?
Yes.
Some guys like that.
Yeah, there's like some older guys on the internet.
Yeah.
Strange guys. No, Ashley, I know, you know, it sounds comical, but, I mean, this is fairly devastating to a 16-year-old girl
and
these days.
And fairly common, too.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd start with the endocrinologist and then...
Endocrinologist,
yeah. And then you see somebody like a plastic surgeon, that sort of thing. Somebody who's doing these light therapies and hair removal therapies. Sometimes gynecologists do that.
And then gynecologists do that?
Yeah, sometimes they do that, yeah.
Really?
Because they see a lot of women. And a lot of
they get that area? It's like while I'm down there?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like... It's like when you get a brake job, the guy goes, as long as I pull the rotors off the turner, you want me to repack the bearings? Like that kind of thing? Like, as long as you're up and your panties are down and I'm down here, give me a pap smear. How about I laser off some of this excess hair? Huh. How about bikini wax?
Or who else are you talking to about that kind of thing? Would you got a gynecologist? And go,
yeah.
Oh, you know,
yeah.
Take care of it.
Right. You can't even see the guy's head. You don't know where his head begins and your vagina ends. If that ever happens, you know, someone has the same pube hairs, like, you know, this gynecologist, maybe the guy's wearing a bad rug, you know?
Yeah.
They don't know where hers ends and his begins.
So she gets a little itch.
Gynecologist.
I'm sure it happens all the time.
Gynecologist now would be a decent gig, but, you know, mid-60s.
Back in the day.
Back in the day. That was a tough gig. Right, Drew?
Yeah, I wasn't there in the mid-60s.
I mean now it's like they gotta, it was like the Everglades down there before. I mean, you had to move stuff aside before you even got to the business, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's all good.
Those fan boats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still kind of early Playboy.
We got it. I know. I kind of like that. We got to take a break. Third Strike is our guest tonight. We're going to hear something else off of the new CD out on Tuesday. And we'll do that. And we'll talk to you after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Third Strike is our guest. Jim and Eric are both here from the band. Los Angeles, the name of the CD, and that is coming out Tuesday. And what we're going to do is we're going to take one call, and then we're going to hear another song off of that CD. Let's talk to Amy, who's 19. Amy?
Yeah.
What's up?
First of all, I just have a follow-up for the last girl who called Ashley about the body hair.
Right.
I have the polycystic ovarian thing
mm-hmm.
that Dr. Drew mentioned, and
yeah.
I've been taking... a medication that's really been helping it, so I just wanted to let her know that.
What are you taking?
Spironolactone.
That's aldactone. That's the one I mentioned. Has it been helping a lot? That's good.
Yeah, it has. And like with all the other symptoms, like there's like a blood sugars problem and stuff. Remember,
that's PCO though. That's polycystic ovarian disease.
Yeah.
Are you taking glucophage or something like that?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Okay. Good
times. So what's the question?
Every time, like my boyfriend and I, like whenever I give him oral sex, like. I have like an instant gag reaction afterwards.
Afterward?
Like, I have to run away and thus, like, throw up, kind of.
Is that after he ejaculates?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm having that reaction just thinking about it.
Well, it's not really a gag reflex.
It's just gross reflex.
It's a gross reflex. Yeah. It's like you take a swig of bad milk from the fridge, you know, you drink from the cart and it's like, whoa.
Then you run across the room
and
spit it out.
You run and spit it in the sink.
Yeah, well, I feel bad, like I feel, you know.
Oh, he doesn't care. He's glad to see you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going, baby. More TV time for me and my penis.
We don't take it personally.
But the question is, can you continue to go through this?
Well, I don't, like, it's pretty bad. Like, it's just gotten worse.
Do you feel like you're going to heave?
Or do you heave?
I do.
Yeah.
Like, after I spit it out, because I used to just swallow it, but then I just got disgusted with it, and so I just started spitting it out, and... when I spit it out, then I throw up. And I've even been dating for like a year and a half.
Mm. And just keep it in your mouth and then give him a French kiss.
Ooh.
Don't they make some kind of pills that can flavor it?
Yeah.
Like some pina colada pills or something?
What can you do about that? I mean...
not a hell of a lot.
I mean, what if it went in your mouth and you spit it out immediately? Would you still gag?
Or what if what if you let it come out of your mouth, you know what I mean, immediately? You know what I mean? Not even, you know what I mean?
Well, I kind of have to, like, go to the bathroom and spit it out.
What if you just let it not even accumulate in your mouth? You see what I'm saying?
Why don't you just take your mouth off right before?
Then where would it go?
On him?
On him, yeah.
Come to her?
He doesn't like that.
He doesn't like that?
No.
Well, it's got to be sensitive to your feelings, too, you know?
Yeah. He likes that more than not doing it at all, though, right?
Don't deal with it.
You are in charge, Amy.
Well, I haven't told him.
Well, I think he didn't hear you retching in the next room.
No, because, like, it's...
he just passes
kind of
out.
Far away.
Right. Wait, he doesn't know you're vomiting?
Not really. It's just kind of... I'm not actually, like, vomiting. It's just kind of, like... I mean, I do, but it's just once, you know?
You're doing that, like, that dry heave thing?
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah.
What
are we going to do? Nothing. Amy, you're in charge. You do what works for you. That's it. If it doesn't, not good for him, believe me, he'll be okay, so long as he gets...
yeah. Wait, you think you're going to offend him, or he's going to break up with you?
Well, I don't think you're going to break up with me, but I just feel like I'm going to offend him.
All right, well, are you on birth control?
I am, but it's only for the PCOS. We don't have sex.
But it will work. It will work.
You don't have sex? Why not?
Because we're both in school, and it's just, just too many risks, I guess.
You're on birth control, though, right?
Yeah.
What are you on?
What are the risks?
The pill?
I'm on Merced.
It's on what?
Merced.
All right, that's a pill, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
All
right, you're good. You're not going to get pregnant.
I don't know. It just...
No, you're not going
to get... He doesn't want to.
He just wants to be Jay?
I guess.
I like this kid's style.
He's Adam's kind of guy.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, why do you take the pill then?
For
polycystic ovarian disease.
Awesome. All right, baby. Well, good times.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in charge, Amy. Just remember that. You are in charge.
All right?
Okay. Just do what works for you.
Just work it out.
Well, thank
you. He doesn't want sex, huh?
No, I guess not. I don't want to either, so it works out okay.
Okay, does he give you oral sex?
Yeah.
All right, that's good. Good times.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right, well, look. I mean, what do you want us to say? You can't have it go in your mouth. You don't want it to go on him. What do you want it to hit it with a laser and have it evaporate in the air? Or run up with like a net that you use to clean your aquarium with and trap it all? Or you want to get the jizz fairy to buzz over it? Well, what do you want us to do? We got a math problem here.
Maybe this was an opportunity for that perineal pressure to make it retrograde.
Yeah.
How about that?
You guys know about that? Mm-hmm. That if you press a certain spot in your right taint area there, yeah, on the, I like to say that area, that border between Scrotumburg and Anusville.
Right
on the border there. If you press that, nothing comes out, right, yeah, Drew?
It goes back into your bladder.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah, that's what I do when I'm, on the airplane. Guy falls asleep in the seat next to me and I can't afford to make a mess, you know what I'm saying? I go for the perineum push.
That's why I never fall asleep when I sit next to him.
All right, let's hear a song, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Third Strike, Lost Angel, and this one is called Redemption. Strike, everybody. Lost Angels, the name of the CD. And that is coming out on Tuesday. That is this Tuesday. You can see these guys on the Warped Tour and Ozfest coming up this summer. And Drew?
There you go.
Yeah? So what do you want to talk to you? Want to take a break?
Marcella.
Oh, really?
That was, they, believe me, go.
All right. Marcella?
Hi.
What's up?
Hey, is this Adam?
Yeah.
Hey, Adam.
Marcella?
So good on the radio.
What's happening, baby?
Oh, not much. Just here in San Pedro listening to you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you guys know her?
Yeah. Pedro, huh? Definitely.
Pedro, yes. Not San Pedro as in like Pedro, but Pedro.
So that's Pedro.
I want to hear a love problem. That's what I want to hear.
My love problem? I have no love problem. I have no sexual diseases or anything like that.
No gonorrhea syphilids?
What?
You a Third Strike fan?
I'm gonna be. I'm gonna get their record out Tuesday, and I'm gonna start listening to their music.
Coming to the record release party?
Yeah, where is it gonna be at?
Troubadour, Tuesday night.
Okay, I'll be there.
Jeez, I would have plugged that. Is that on here?
It's not on there.
All right, Tuesday night. Oh, yeah, this Tuesday at the Troubadour. Yeah, I was doodling over it. Yeah. Hey, Marcella?
Yes?
What are you doing?
I'm listening to you guys.
All right.
But I want to ask Third Strike a question.
Please, please, do.
All right. Who's in there, first of all? Is it Eric and who else?
Jim.
Okay, which is the front man, or who's that?
Hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. Are you good looking?
Yes, do I sound good looking?
Yes, you do, because you're a pain in the ass.
Oh, I am?
Yes.
Could you tell?
Just go right to the question.
Kind of waiting around, but you understand we can't see you, so you're annoying us.
I could fax you over my question. My question, but my picture.
Just go to the question right now.
All right, okay. My question is, what are your guys' influences?
I think
it's a different show.
Everything except New Country.
Yeah.
New Country?
Everything except New Country.
Okay.
Exclusively New Country.
All right. You mean like opera? That's
sure.
Yeah.
Everything.
Sure.
All right, baby. Fax that picture over and then call back.
All right, I will.
All right. We'll have a new attitude.
What?
All right, babe. Good times.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Bye.
We'll take ourselves a little break. Third Strike is here.
These guys will be standing by the fax machine.
Yeah. We'll be back after this. Everybody, Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Should we give the phone number? No, it's too late. Yeah. Third Strike is in here tonight. Jim and Eric, both here representing the band. And the album is coming out on Tuesday, everybody. Yep. And the record signing, record release party at the Troubadour.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
That's up on Sunset Strip there, and that is at Tuesday. What time is that at, do you know?
We're going at 8:30.
7:30, and we're on at 8:30.
All right, so any tickets available to that? You can try.
You left.
Go down there.
Just come down. We'll get you in.
That's right. Jennifer?
Hi.
You're 26?
Yes. You think Jennifer's call reminds me? We've not been to Chicago in a while.
We
need to spend some more time in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer's calling for me.
We really need you out here.
All right, coming out tonight, Red Eye.
You know, I have a question for Jim and Eric first. Are you guys married?
No.
No, okay. I have
Wait, hang on a second. I like the way they answer that. No.
No. They call them. They're married.
We like our fans.
The reason I ask is, I'm recently single. I have a really bad relationship, and I'm not very eager to get very intimate with guys, and I'm wondering
What happened with this relationship?
It was bad. It was pretty verbally abusive, and I wasn't made to feel very important.
How long over what? Was it always abusive from the beginning, or just did it break down into that?
I got involved with someone who had spent a lot of time in jail and had a lot of pent-up aggression.
And how long was he abusive to you?
He never hurt me. You know, he never hit me, but we were...
Adam's going to hang up on you. You got one chance.
Two years.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's all right, man.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to hang up on you.
I know this game. I don't want to get hung up on.
All right.
And Adam?
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys think, I mean, if I don't want to, you know, even kiss a guy on the first date, is that, like an okay thing to do this day and age?
If you give him a hand job, yeah.
Yeah?
No, it's fine not to be physical, but you've stuck yourself on two ends of the same continuum, which is I'm going to be with an abusive, awful guy, or no guys.
Right.
Or certainly not, I may be with worthwhile guys, but I'm not going to be open to any intimacy with them.
Right.
And it's the same kind of avoidance of real intimacy. So how about just being more careful and more clear about the guys you're with and be with somebody who's boring and, you know, not so enticing as the ones you were attracted to. Really be careful of your attractions. For some reason, you're attracted to guys that are abusive.
Steer clear of the ex-cons.
Yeah. And if you're attracted, distrust that that's a guy you should be with. You should be with somebody who's kind of boring.
Yeah. Find yourself a nerd.
That's what I originally called for, as I need one of Adam's world-renowned reality checks. I'm afraid to do things because I'm afraid of how people are going to look at me. But, Adam, I need you to tell me.
What do you mean you're scared to do things?
You know, I'm afraid to even, like, move a certain way because, you know, I'm afraid of people going to look at me. But you have to tell me, you know, no one's looking. They don't care about you. You're little. You're nothing. Come on, give it to me.
Did you see what that is, Jennifer? You need to be, you're even asking Adam to abuse you.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You have to be abused to feel okay.
Jennifer, nobody cares. Nobody. Not even your immediate family.
You're right.
Yeah. If something tragic happened to you, they'd be upset for the first day or two, and then it'd be business as usual, baby.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And if I went to your mom like 3 days after you died and said, I'm sorry about Jennifer, she'd go, who?
Who?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
All right, baby, no one cares. So you should be freed up to live your life.
Adam,
good times.
Speaking of nobody caring when somebody dies, I watched Love and Death again last night.
Wow.
When the herring... The
herring, classic Woody Allen.
When the herring salesman dies, and Diane Keaton says,
letters?
What's for lunch?
Oh, yeah.
Where should we go for lunch?
Yeah. Everyone should go out and see Love and Death. Old Woody Allen movie, but a funny one. Christine?
Yes?
You're 22?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, my question is, I have HPV, and I know what it can do to me. I mean, it can cause me cancer and genital warts, but I was wondering, what can it do to my boyfriend?
HPV's warts, everybody.
Yeah, it can make him contagious, which he necessarily is, I would suggest.
I heard you guys, like, a couple weeks ago, and you guys were mentioning that, like, if they're circumcised, that it's not really as bad.
It's hard.
Not circumcised.
There was an article in the New England Journal of Medicine about a month ago that suggested that if more men were circumcised, there'd be less men getting HPV.
Oh, okay.
That HPV is easier to get if you are uncircumcised.
Less men spreading it
and
to women.
And therefore, that's the main thing with HPV in men, is that they then become contagious to women. They can get warts, but the warts can be easily controlled. And now if they get that virus, though, around their anus, it can cause anal cancers.
That's why I always wipe down the strap-on. Always alcohol every time.
Then torch it.
then I torch it, right.
But can it cause some cancer as well, or?
What did I just say? Didn't hear it?
You know, my phone's getting ready to cut out and it was beeping.
Okay, it can cause anal cancers in men if the warts get down in that area.
Oh, okay.
But nothing to the penis other than contagiousness.
Don't you want to die, though, if you have warts on your anus?
And the thing about butt cancer is it's usually later in life, 70, 80, that it really comes on. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's bad.
Do you know if there's, like, any effective treatments out there for it, or?
For HPV, of course. I'm sure you're getting them, right?
Well, my doctor's is doing that, just that wait and see what happens.
All right, you just got to follow them, and they have to be treated when the warts come up. You have to take off the precancerous lesions of the cervix when they come along. So it's just something needs to be followed.
Okay.
Okay, good times,
bad
though, right?
Times.
I mean, bad times. Oh, you know, we should all just take a moment, pause, and thank God we don't have vaginas right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but you have a prostate, and you will live to... Hate that, too.
The prostate?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
But for now...
You do not want to be a female under 40. You don't want to be a male over 50.
So the vagina problems clear up over 40, usually?
They not so much.
You say my mom has a fine vagina?
A fine one, yes.
No problems there?
Yes, but your prostate is doomed for trouble.
Damn it. Oh, man. It's bad times. All right, let's see. Tom.
Adam, Drew, how you guys doing?
Hey, good. Tom, what's up?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Cool.
Great.
Comment on the whole, girls don't want to receive a guy's semen on a blowjob.
Right.
Why can't she just put on her favorite flavored condom over his junk and then prevent the whole thing from happening?
It just doesn't feel the same, man.
The guys won't let her do that.
I know that, but I'm saying if it's one or the other, no blowjob or blowjob with condom on, I think you're going to take the blowjob with condom on, right?
Yeah, but it's kind of like a blowjob with the condom is like you're with a prostitute.
Yeah.
And no girlfriend's going to want to be like a prostitute because...
No.
Wait, now you're sort of casting aspersion to the proper practice of safe sex.
I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's my job.
Yeah. So, no, I don't think somebody would feel like prostitute. They just don't feel right. They don't like it, and so they're not going to do it. They would feel they'd have to do it if we're a prostitute.
Right.
And this way they wouldn't be inclined to do it. That's part of the problem these days.
But yeah. I've heard this question a lot before, and you guys never throw that out there as an option, this option either.
Because we ran out of steam with it because so many of the guys just flatly rejected it when we brought it up.
Well,
don't get me wrong, I wouldn't like that either, but it's, if it's either yay or nay, and it's like the only way to get it, and that's your thing, like Adam, then...
Yeah. Would that be okay for you?
The condom thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had a BJ with a condom on.
Well, there you go. That speaks volumes right there.
And the other comment I think that you guys brought up this beforehand is something like guys drinking pineapple juice or something along those lines to make things taste better.
Yeah. Well, we're not big fans of that.
That either?
Well, really listen, my thing, it's like you want to make your Duke taste better, you eat tapioca.
And marshmallows.
And marshmallows. It's still Duke, though.
And drink a lot of beer and eat a lot of hot dogs?
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing about semen is there, maybe you change the flavor of it a little bit, but it's still, I mean, if you got a problem with it, you got a problem with it, right?
Yeah.
You don't think it's something else, do you?
Ugh.
This is what I yell at the dentist when he tries to give me the pina colada flavor tooth pumice to clean my teeth. It's like, who are you kidding, buddy? what do you think I'm in some tropical resort sipping a pina colada?
I think the taste
this
of semen
is distracting.
And the taste of toothpaste are precise analogies.
No, I'm
saying
you have picked a flavor that I like, pina colada, but it's in pumice form, and your smoke's coming off my tooth.
Pina colada semen?
Excited?
No. Right. Pina colada semen? No.
I don't know. Look, Drew, I think I'm mad at you, but I'm not sure.
Let's go to break.
All right. All right, everybody. Go out and get that Third Strike CD on Tuesday when it comes out. And
we're supposed to say hi to Jim's sister?
Yeah.
Say hi to Jim.
Long-time listener, Linda.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Linda. Thanks for listening. And keep listening. If you start your own band, you can come on one day yourself. All right. I want to thank Jim and Eric for coming in here. And again, Troubadour, Tuesday night. That's when they're playing, and that's when they're doing the record signing and all that.
Yes.
Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying... Mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.